Well, good morning, everybody. And I want to open up with a verse out of Romans 11. It's a verse I quite often go to, and I hope you too, because it pretty much defines and remembers or reminds us of what we're doing, why we're here, what the whole thing is about. And it's Romans 11:36. It's kind of like Paul's final words after he explained how we can be saved, how we can live according to the glory of God. And there's a lot of theology in there, but he ends it with a big praise, starting in 33, where he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid?" So this is loaded with theology, and I think we could spend a whole life going through this. And Paul basically says, you know, I just started scratching on the surface. There's so much more to this. And then verse 36, he goes, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." And I think that's just such a basic truth that we need to be reminded of all the time. From him. He's the source of everything. He's the giver of all good things. And without him, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. And we got to be careful not to forget that, you know, especially as we gain some experience in ministry and maybe get some theological training, which is all good, but never a replacement for him who is the source of all good things. And then through him, if it wouldn't be through Jesus, who came to save us and lead us out of darkness, not because we were so clever to recognize it or that we wanted it. It was just his good pleasure that he came to save, and not only save us in order that we don't go to hell, but to heaven, but he came to save us and equipped us, like, you know, like what we're doing now. This is called equipping hour. And we're best equipped when we listen to him and are reminded of the fact that is through him. Everything that we can do that has any value is through him. It is by his power, by his provision, by his spirit that he gave us. And the purpose of it all, the goal, is not us. It's not that we kind of have a great name or that our church is recognized or any of that. It is to him. He's the giver of all good things. He's the means that we can live him out, and he's the goal of everything. So very obviously, we are not the center of this world. Even though we might think we are at times, and are inclined to get that notion, but we are not. It's from him, through him, and to him be the glory forever. And that applies to everything, family life, ministry, and training. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Some of my family, the church plant, and the ministry, and in all of that, we're just constantly reminded that whatever we do, we should do it to his glory, by his power, and thanking him because he is the source of everything that we do. And let me start out by also just bring greetings to you from my family. As Greg mentioned, I'm married to one woman and father of six children, and I can't wait to get back home. It's nice to travel. It's good to be abroad, but it's better to be home. So don't take that personal. That's just how it is, and I'm sure you can identify with that. So, greetings from my family, from the church plant. We started the church plant last year, February, and are just very happy and encouraged for the connection we have around the globe. I know you guys are praying for us faithfully, asking us what to pray for. And I will give you some insights about what happened on things that you have been praying for. Then a special greeting I have to bring to you from Theo. Do you remember Theo? Yeah. He's still doing well, going strong. Good friend of mine and a great partner in ministry. And we're just thankful for the time he had with all of you guys. Everything that you invested into him to make him a better servant of the Lord. So special greetings from him, and then greetings from the EBTC, the training center. We have been connected along those lines for many years. Greg's been over there several times to straighten us out with good theology because, you know, we're from Europe and we started all this bad theology. It's true. You know, it's the German liberals. And it's always sad when you want to do a doctorate, you have to learn German, which it's not an easy language to learn, and you have to learn it to read a bunch of bad theology, you know? I mean, how encouraging is that? So we're glad that you guys have forgiven us and, you know, graciously sent guys over there to help us out to get back on the track. So we appreciate you coming and you allowing Greg to travel and minister over there. So let me start by giving you some insights on what's happening in our family. We moved a little bit, well, it's almost 1.5 years ago now, to a new place close to Zurich, close to the training center, after having a pretty moving life before. We lived in Berlin for 8 years. We went to the States, went back to Berlin, moved to Switzerland, first to Bern, where I pastored for 5 years. So within 8 years, among other, we had 4 international moves, which was no small thing. I mean, we started out our international moves with 3 kids, then thought that's too easy. So the next one, we had 5 kids. And then we eventually moved to doing this whole deal with 6 kids. And now we are very happy to have arrived in a place that is not just a roof over our head, but it's a real home. I mean, it is home, and I'm so thankful that I can give testimony to that. It's not just home for me, it's for my wife, for my children. You know, all the traveling, all the equipping, all the training we got was great. I wouldn't want to miss a thing, but I'm very happy that God has placed us there. We're closer to the training center now. We're only about 30 minutes away, driving distance, and we also started a church plant there. I'm going to talk about that in a little while. And we didn't start a church plant because, you know, we were bored and didn't have anything to do and thought, hey, let's start a church plant. In Switzerland, well, the German-speaking part of Europe, actually all of Europe, and I assume to a big part here too, I really think that the need of the hour is church plants. I know there's a lot of churches around, and you guys are fortunate. I think you have more good, solid, healthy churches than we have in Europe. And the ones that used to be healthy, I know there's always an exception to the rule, but most of them, you will not turn them around. They're set in their tracks. So even if you look at church history, there seems to be times where you just kind of push the reset button. You start over again. You start with a new thing where you can set the boundaries, set the foundations, and just go on. So I really think the need of the hour is to plant new churches, or you are fortunate, you are in a good church, really be part of that church and be involved in helping other churches either to remain strong and healthy, or, as you are doing, being part of new church plants, may be here in the country or anywhere in the world, because we need each other. We really do. So as a family, we are very happy to be where we're at right now. Happy with the schools, and that's no small thing, because as you know, homeschooling is not really a big option in many places in Europe. It's just illegal. That's the fact. But we are blessed with having a school that is really good. I mean, we're really happy. It's a public school, but there's order. Obviously, they teach some things that we don't agree with, but hey, that's okay. Our kids need to learn what this world is like in which we live, and hopefully, Lord saves them, what the people think and how they're wired. So they need to know the people and the world we live in, because we are called to be in this world, but not of it. We are called to be a salt and a light. So as far as that's concerned, we're glad that I can report to you that the schools our children are attending is good. And we've had we know the other thing too. In Bern, the schools were, and I'm not exaggerating, it was a catastrophe. It was really, really bad. It was one of the contributing reasons why we actually decided to move and go to a different place. Then some of you know and probably remember that our move to the new location was rather dramatic, because my sister and her husband live in the same place, that same town that we moved to, and they were very happy, and so were we, to move there and be closer to them. They're not believers. And the night we moved, I mean, the very night we moved, her husband had a heart attack. And I had 5 people from the EBTC that came down to help us move. Matthias was one of them. I don't know, has Matthias been here before? You might know Matthias. Matthias is used to be, highly specialized, trained nurse for emergency procedures and people who have issues with the heart. He was there. Another guy that was there is a trained rescue guy on an ambulance. And as my sister's husband had the heart attack, Matthias and this other guy jumped in and brought him back to life. I mean, who on earth has 2 specialists next to him when he has a heart attack? So they brought him back. He had not a heart attack. And I mean, he was out, no heartbeat. They brought him back again. So when the ambulance arrived, he was alive and he was conscious. You could talk to him. They brought him in and told my sister, after doing some first procedures, that he'd be okay, only to inform her 45 minutes later that he passed away. So that was our start. That was our first day, and it was a sobering reminder that we don't know when the day comes. And we do have a purpose in this life. It's to be salt and light, to spread the gospel, and to grow personally in salvation and holiness. And I think doing the funeral for my sister's husband was the hardest thing I ever did in ministry so far, because she's my sister. I love her dearly, but I know that things are not better for her husband now. So I had to give comfort, yet at the same time, I did not have an option as far as preaching the gospel went. So God, thank God, really gave a lot of grace in doing that funeral, and gave a lot of grace in the months that followed. I spent a lot of time at my sister's place. I don't have a nice office like Greg does here, but I took a picture to bring it back and show my guys and say, look, that's how they treat pastors in the States, okay? Just a little hint there. No, it's all okay. We're church plant, you know. You need to have a pioneering spirit if you want to do a church plant, because it's not like everything is well prepared, and that's okay. There's room for development and growth and participation, and you got to have kind of a pioneering spirit to do that. But since I don't have a study, I mean, I have one room at home where we live, but okay, we have six kids, and the setup is such that here's the kitchen, here's the living room, and here's my study. So that's not always that helpful, because I'm the kind of guy, if I want to study, I need peace. Now, it's not that my kids are fighting all the time, but it's not always quiet, okay? And all of you who have kids can probably relate to that. So I'm fortunate to be able to go work at my sister's place. She has a home, as I said, in the same town, and it's quiet there, and she's an accountant. She works from home. She has her own business. So it's a good thing in many ways, because I can study there, and I get to spend a lot of time with her. And I'm truly amazed, because they were not believers, but I can tell you for sure, the way they led their marriage, many believers could learn from them. Seriously, it was a great test, I must admit, when her husband passed away, of trusting God whichever way he leads things. Because I must admit, I had the thoughts like, okay, who has two trained specialists there when you have a heart attack? And you know, you're prone to think, wow, God's providence, you know, he's preparing everything. Here they are, they bring him back, and you're like, okay, this is a great path to, you know, bring him to Christ. And then he passes away. And I can tell you one thing, if you don't have a solid theology, primarily on who God is, on the nature of God, because there is no rhyme and reason to a story like the one we experienced with my sister's husband. The only thing that keeps you afloat is knowing that God is who he is. And he does what he does, always with a purpose, and that purpose is always good. So back to my sister. The amazing thing in the aftermath of the death of her husband is I have never, ever seen her bitter. Never experienced her, and we are really close and grew much closer through this. Never saw her accusing God for what happened. She says, you know, I'm just so thankful for the time that we had, because we had a great time. And she says, you know, the hard thing is not just that I lost my husband, but I lost my best friend. What a great testimony. And my prayer for her is, you know, humanly speaking, she's a great person, really. Not just because she's my sister. It's just she has good morals, you know, she sees things very clearly, I think, but that's not going to save her. So my prayer for her, and I hope you remember to pray for her and for me as we get to spend a lot of time together. Her name is Karen. I hope that she gets saved, most importantly, and I hope she gets married again, because whoever's going to get married to her is going to be a lucky guy, really. So if you would pray or continue to pray for her salvation, I would really appreciate that. And my oldest daughter, Shoel, she's 21. She finished her apprenticeship, her first apprenticeship to be a nurse, and she's in her second program that lasts another 2 years. And she will be a highly qualified nurse by the time she's done with that. She will have had 5 years of training. And she's moving out. She lived with us until now, but now she's got a bunch of friends, three friends coming to join her. And they're going to get an apartment together. They're all nurses. They're all saved. And those three friends are primarily moving to the area because they want to be part of the church plan too. So that's very encouraging. And it's a good thing to see your children grow up and mature and be able to stand on their own two feet. I mean, that's not that I want to have them out of the house, but I want to see them able to handle life, you know? And it's a good thing. I'm happy for it. I rejoice in it, even though we're kind of sad that she's leaving home. But she's our daughter. She's part of the church plant. She lives close by. So that's a great thing. Then my other daughter, Lois, you know, children are a blessing from the Lord. And some children are a special blessing because they give you a training field for sanctification like nothing else. So your laughs tell me that you know what I'm talking about. And Lois is definitely our sanctification child. I mean, they all are, but she's in a special way. Even though I must admit, I'd rather have a child who's open about what's going on in her heart and mind than raising a hypocrite who plays along. And believe me, there's plenty of those at the EBTC. All the students, as they go through the program, will give a testimony of their salvation. And you will not believe how many testimonies follow the pattern of, well, yeah, I grew up in a Christian home and, you know, I played church whenever I needed to, but other than that, I just did whatever I wanted. Makes it a lot harder to relate to them and know what's going on in their heart. Now, the other thing is not, doesn't make it easier, but I still would prefer it, I must admit. She's not always easy. She's 16. She's a beautiful young woman, which doesn't make it, that's not to her advantage at this stage. And the good thing is that God is so gracious, really. I remember I was going down the road, it was a little bit more than half a year ago, and I just, one of those short prayers, and I prayed to the Lord, I said, look, I know this is 95, maybe even 100% purely selfish, what I'm praying now. But I still need to pray it. I said, give her a job. Give her something to do, because if she just stays home, does nothing, I'm going to go crazy. I know how I'm going to handle this. And in Switzerland, you usually go to school 9 years, and then you what we call an apprenticeship. You pick a job and you get vocational training and then you get certified in that job. That's how it usually goes. And you got to apply for that. And it's not uncommon to send out 50 to 100 applications till you get an apprenticeship. Well, my daughter sent out one, which was not helpful. And then my wife and I started, you know, trying to look for a few things. And we send in all her, you know, her paperwork, her grades and everything to a childcare place, which is bilingual, and she loves English. She's old enough, she says she wants to come live over here. So that's all good. I went through that stage too. I spent many years in the States. But God in His mercy, even though she didn't do a whole lot, but you know, He gives us a lot of things we don't deserve often either. It's not like we did a whole lot to deserve it. And it's just a sobering reminder that how good and how gracious God is to us. And we need to learn from that. We need to learn from that in dealing with our children, in dealing with other people. Not to exercise cheap grace, that's not what I'm talking about at all, but to be gracious. And God gave her an apprenticeship at a child care unit, which is bilingual, so she gets all the English-speaking babies and young kids. And she did really well. I mean, not only did she stay there, you know, I thought, okay, this is a good start. She get it. She got the internship, but I hope she's not going to come home after a few weeks and say, well, I don't like my boss or I don't like that, you know, and quit. So she's been there, and she actually did well, so well that they offered her an apprenticeship. She got a contract to do the 3-year training there and come out on the other end as a certified nanny, I guess you could call it. So we're very happy about that. And I think it's good for her to have that confirmation that, you know, it's not that easy to get those. A lot of people want to do the training she does, but can't get in. So that's good. And just be praying for her that the Lord will do what only He can do, because only He can bring her to repentance. Only He can make her see the truth. Only He can give her a new heart. Our task is just to love her, to love people in general. I mean, this applies not only to our children, to love them and to treat them right with kindness and love, hoping that God will bring them to repentance. And ultimately, again, Romans 2:4 reminds us, don't you know that it is, what is it that brings people to repentance? What does Romans 2:4 say? The kindness of God. We do have a kind, good, and gracious God indeed. Well, my boys, as Greg pointed out, my son is, he just turned 15 a few days ago. And I'm not a particularly small guy or short guy. And he's taller than I am. I have to go to the boat section to get shoes for him now. It's kind of challenging, but he's a great guy, really. He's a very dependable, helps around the house, does his things, great young man. Not saved yet, but he always says, when he's old enough, he wants to move to Berlin, go to the house we lived, and work for the EBTC. So that's good. I'm happy to hear that he has that kind of plans. Timon, my other boy, I told you about him. He's the one that has a tumor in his arm, has had that for 8 years now, broke his arm numerous times, had numerous surgeries. It's a benign tumor. It's not cancerous. It's not going to spread, but it's very aggressive, and it just eats up his bone and turns it into an eggshell, basically. There's nothing you can do to remove it. There's only spontaneous healing for this kind of a tumor that he has. But what they've done over the last few years, they put in nails that really go from joint to joint just to stabilize his arm. And that's been helpful because he has not broken his arm in the past 3 years. That's the best we ever did so far. And it looks, there's indication that the bone is actually recovering. So if you would remember Timon and his issue with the bone tumor, I'd appreciate that because he's Mr. Sports. He got 2 or 3 sets of batteries, I can tell you. He's got endless power and energy. And we just trust the Lord. We let him do sports and everything. You know, if he breaks his arm, he breaks it. Well, there's nothing we can do. We can't tie him down. You know, that's not going to be any help. And then I have 2 more boys, Sylvan and Noe. They're little ones. They're just boys, you know. They're they're just there doing boy stuff. And they're a joy to have around, too. As far as the church goes, very blessed what we experienced so far. There's so many stories I could tell you how we saw God's grace and leading and just preparing the path in ways I would not have even dared dreaming of. Just one short story. We were looking for a room for many months and got turned down in all kinds of places for various reasons. And, you know, we're all ready to go. We're ready to start with the church plant. And then God, just cut the story short, by His grace, led me to a guy who has a great facility, serves us perfect. He has chairs, he has tables, he has coffee machines. He has the whole infrastructure that we need and lets us use it for $200 a month in Switzerland. Okay, now Switzerland is not known to be a country where things don't cost a lot. I mean, the cost of living is outrageous. Zurich just got rated the second most expensive city in the world. And it is. I can testify to that. So God gave us this room that is fully equipped. We didn't have to get anything. And the guy, he's not even a believer, but he's so helpful. He says, well, if you need anything, just let me know. And you can use all my stuff. You know, we didn't even have to buy a single coffee cup. We can use his cups. And he says, oh, just put them on the side. I'll wash them for you. I'm like, well, he says, well, you know, it's the machine is kind of tricky to handle. So it's okay. Just put them there. I'll take care of it. It's like, and we have everything. We literally have everything there. So just amazing to see how God provides. And then we started three families, including our family. And we didn't know, are we going to be three families for a month, a year? Because this was a church plant from scratch. There was nothing there. And God has just been bringing people, adding people. It's amazing. I mean, we are pretty set on what the philosophy of ministry is, how we want to go about church planting. And it is challenging, yes, on the one hand, but it's actually pretty simple. Because we don't need to invent anything new. We don't need to be creative. We just need to be faithful. And it always has been, is, and always will be a fact that it pleases God to save people through the foolishness of preaching His truth. Period. So I always go to John 10:27, which is kind of like one of the theme verses for my life and ministry, where John talks about the good shepherd. In John 10:27, Jesus says, I know my sheep. Sober reminder, they're His. We're just under shepherds. They're His sheep. It's His church. We're just part of this. We're just blessed to be a part of all of this. So He says, I know my sheep. They hear my voice and they follow me. So here's the thing. My task, actually your task, if you're a youth worker, if you do Sunday school, if you teach your kids at home, it doesn't really matter what it is. We have one task, to make sure that they hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. That's all. They need to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And if they're sheep, they will follow. Well, I understand. Sometimes, you know, they follow a little bit closer. Sometimes they fall a little bit behind. Sometimes they kind of wander astray and you got to go after them. But they listen. Okay, this is a statement that Jesus makes. If they're sheep, they know the truth. Why? Because we have the Spirit who leads us into all truth. And they listen, which means they're obedient. It's obedience. That's what Jesus describes. Sheep are, the mark of sheep is that they're obedient. They love the word. That doesn't mean that we're perfect, but we want to do what God tells us to do. And if you're faithful, proclaiming the truth so they hear the voice of the shepherd, and people are not following, there's only two options. Two options. Either, yes, they are sheep, but they're really in bad condition. They're really spiritually sick. Okay? This can happen. They need help. The other option is, they're not sheep, they're goats. They're simply goats. Spurgeon, many years ago, wrote a very interesting article. If you haven't heard of it, if you haven't read it, you should read it. It's you probably heard of it. It's not long, and the title of it is Feeding Sheep or Entertaining Goats. It's very good. Feeding sheep or entertaining goats. We're not here to entertain the goats. We are under shepherds of the great shepherd and want to make sure that people hear the voice of the good shepherd so they might be saved or so they might be sanctified. That's all we have to do. That's what we do in a church plant. And God adds just in, as he did in Acts, as he pleases. That's his thing. We sow, we water, but we can't make things grow in any way. That again is from him, through him, and to him, because we want him to grow not towards our church, not towards EBTC, but towards him. We want to become more like him. That's the purpose. That's the goal. So by God's grace, the church has been growing. People are committing. Your membership information and class was a great help to kind of form and shape our membership philosophy, because we really want to encourage people to be an active part of the church. The church is compared to a body. Any part on your body that's not active is not useful. And if it's inactive for too long of a time, it'll actually fall off. Okay? If there's no life going through, your body just gets rid of all the things that are not really active. So our goal is, and by God's grace, really hope to cultivate an atmosphere of, you know, not just pew dusters who come and, you know, fill the pews. And you can say, well, we have so and so many people. Well, that's nice, but how many of them are actually active? How many of them are members? Not just members on the member list, but member on the body, an active, living, contributing part of the body that has one head, and the head is Christ. In July 3rd, we will accept our first batch of members in, and we're probably going to be we're looking at a core group of 20 to 25 adults, which is, I'm blown away. Seriously. I'm literally blown away, because I didn't know what was going to come our way. We were set that this is a good thing to do. And God in his grace and goodness and kindness again has decided to bless this church plant. And just want to thank you for making this possible through financial support, but primarily through prayer, because look, prayer is the biggest thing. James says, you don't have because you don't ask. We all know that, and this is another thing that we'd like to cultivate at our church, is really be a praying church. And I know we all need encouragement to do that. We all agree, we all affirm that prayer is a good thing. Yet I think we all struggle with this simple truth quite a bit. That's again why you need a church according to Hebrews 10:25, where he says that we should not, you know, I'm sorry, I'm really bad at quoting English scripture. What does it say?
Not give up meeting.
See, that's why I got Greg. I'm so glad. That's why he comes over there to help us, because we need his help. Yeah, we should be part of the church. Why? So we come together and do what? Not just enjoy coffee and donuts, even though coffee and donuts are great things. We had fellowship over coffee and donuts this morning, and it was awesome. But there's much more to it. Why should we come together? What does it say there? Hebrews 10:25 and following. Stimulate one another to love and good works. I would say praying is a lovely work. But we need to stimulate each other. We need to help each other. We need to encourage each other. And I hope that, again, that that will be part, a hallmark of the church we're planting. So we accept members. We have a parent dedication May 1st. We got tons of kids. Oh, man, we have so many. We have lots of young families and very lively church in a good sense. And there again, God provided because the facilities we have, they're great to meet, but there's not so many additional rooms. So we just happened to get to know somebody who lives in the same town. They're also believers. They're not part of our church, but part of the church where the EBTC is located at. And they have a big house about 300 yards from where our church plant is. Their kids are not home anymore. They got rooms available. They said, hey, you know, we were just talking about things. I said, you can use our home. You can use our rooms and do Sunday school there. So even though we're a church plant, we have a toddler group and we have two Sunday schools already because we have so many kids. It's really great. What else is happening there? We're just starting our church-based corporate prayer meetings. Right as I get back Monday night sometime, and we start with the church-based prayer meetings Wednesday night. We're planning to start with a church-based Bible study after the summer break. So God is adding a lot of good things. We have home Bible studies who are really sweet, a great pathway to encourage people to be faithful members of a church. Great time for fellowship, for opening up your home and let them see the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because that's what happens when you open up your home. Especially if you have six kids. It's not like they're always, you know, just picture perfect. But that's okay. Nobody is. Don't act like you are. This is not helping people, okay? It's not helping people. We all have the same sinful hearts. We all struggle with the same things. And we don't need to play church and act like we're perfect, but we need to come together and encourage each other to love and good deeds and help each other and carry each other's burdens as we read in Galatians 6. So many good things, vibrant church, great fellowship. I know I wrote that, but I just want to mention that again because I must admit, I was pastoring a church in Bern. We had, you know, an average of 150 people on Sundays growing. And then I went to a church plant. I'm preaching to, well, maybe 10 people when we started out. And that's different, okay? It's different. But we have such sweet fellowship. Really, people stick around after church just about every Sunday for an hour or two. Just want to be there, just want to fellowship, talk about things, ask questions. It's great. I mean, we are highly, highly encouraged by what God is doing there. So from the family to the church to the EBTC, the training center, I can wrap that up quickly. It's amazing what God has done in 15 years. We started in Berlin 15 years ago. 10 years ago, the training center in Zurich started. 5 years ago, the training center near Cologne started. And now another 5 years, the one in Vienna, Austria, will start. That was not our plan. It's not like we, you know, in communism, they used to have five-year plans. Okay, we're neither communistic, nor do we have a five-year plan going here. Okay, that's God orchestrating this. And we don't go and plant training centers. We go to existing churches upon invitation by them to have a training center that is hosted at a church that is already there existing and just connected to. It has many, many advantages to it. You're bringing training to where it belongs in the church. The church is involved in different ways in the training, and it keeps costs down in a great way because we don't have to buy facilities which are basically unaffordable, especially in Switzerland. I was just visiting with a friend of mine in Minnesota, and they were able to buy a church building, and it's huge. I mean, it's two floors. It will seat 300 to 400 people. It has all the extra rooms. It has an extra floor upstairs, which is just as big as the downstairs. And they were able to get that building in the St. Paul, in the city of St. Paul, for the price that you will get a halfway decent home in Zurich for a family. So I'm like, wow, I'm very happy for you guys. I truly am, but it just makes training practical, and you can actually do it when you go to churches. So we're very happy about that, and we're definitely not what I call a buffet Bible school, meaning a buffet school is you just offer everything that evangelism, quote-unquote, has to offer and let students pick whatever they like for the purpose of getting a big student body. We don't do that. We are very open about where we stand theologically. For Europe, we're considered super conservative, if not to say ancient. But that's okay, because we preach and live an ancient truth that nothing has changed about. And it pleases God to add people. I mean, we are, and that's a well-kept secret, one of the biggest Bible schools in Europe now. We have, in all locations, well over 240 students and growing. And it's not like we have a super recruiting method. Honestly, the recruiting we do happens through our students who come out of this transformed, and people see it and they say, I want that too. And God brings people to us from everywhere. So that's a huge encouragement for us, and I hope for you also, because even though the times might seem dark, and they are, but they have been since Genesis 3, in case you forgot. It got pretty dark quickly after Genesis 3. I mean, Genesis 6, God has to send a flood because the thoughts and intentions of man's heart were evil all day long. So nothing changed, really. We just might feel like this is the worst of times. Time's been pretty bad since the fall, actually. But God has sheep who hear the voice and come and want to be trained. And we count ourselves really privileged to be part of this and just help and equip people for church ministry. Just be a part of this. And in Zurich, we have 77 students right now. Biggest number of students we ever had. And just grateful that God is adding as he pleases, not only to the church, but also to people who want to be trained through the training center. Vienna is opening up this fall, so be praying for that. We have a great faculty, a great teaching body. One of our professors is actually in the process of getting his PhD through the Master's Seminary in LA. Great guy, not just a great theologian, but more than anything else, a great man of God. I mean, if there is an example to follow in Switzerland as far as theology, living a godly life, and I know for a fact that he is a praying man. He is a man of prayer. And he's one of our key teachers in Switzerland. His name is Benedict Peters. Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, next, he'll be over here for the next Shepherd's Conference. And you should get to know him. He's a great guy. And I have many great guys. I mean, all over, all our teachers in the EBTC, and we have more than 30 in all locations, they're all nationals. They're all nationals. And a good number of them are the ones that we have been grooming ourselves, and they grew to be teachers, and there's two more in the lineup by God's grace. There's two families at the Master Seminary. Daniel Arden is one of them. He's a Swiss guy. He's going to graduate in May and come back and help with the training and the church plant in Switzerland. And by God's grace, we ran into an Austrian guy just at the right time. He's a pediatrician. He's has dual citizenship. He's American and Austrian. And started studying at the seminary there too, and is planning to go back to Austria as soon as he gets done with his studies. What a perfect timing. He wants to go back there and be part of the church, but also very strongly be part of EBTC. So God provides in mysterious and gracious ways. And we have every reason to trust him with everything and to thank him for everything he does. I know sometimes we wonder, why are you doing this? Well, he knows. He knows. And we need to know and fully trust that he does know. Not only does he know, he only has good intentions with everything he does. So that's pretty much what's happening in Europe. I'm sorry I went a little bit long. I wanted to leave more time for questions, but there's a lot of good things to tell. So do we have a little bit time for questions? The refugees from Syria. Do we get that? Oh yeah, we're not only getting that, we're flooded. I mean, the numbers that have been coming to Europe are just staggering, which on a political level is very challenging how to handle that. From God's perspective, he brings the Muslims to us so we can be a testimony to them. And I really hope that we are, because there are no worse sinners than we have ever been. And they need the gospel just like we do. We didn't deserve it, so the same applies to them, but God decides to save sinners. So politically, again, there's no easy solution to this whole situation, but I think we should primarily view it from God's perspective and take advantage of him bringing all those people to us, many of them which come from closed countries or countries where it is very hard, very dangerous to minister to. Switzerland, we don't get that many for the single purpose that Switzerland is not part of the EU. So a lot of refugees want to, you know, be registered in an EU country because that opens up a bigger perspective for them on where to go and where to move about. But we're getting our fair share too.
Martin, maybe just share a little bit about what, I know there's no typical week, kind of how your time fleshes out between the church and EBTC, generally.
Generally, everything just needs to get done somehow. the training program at the EBTC is set up to reach guys who are working regular jobs, because most of the guys that are involved in ministry are doing that by being fully bivocational. So the training takes place once a month on a weekend, and they get the nice load of 20 hours in 2 days. So, I mean, it's pretty intense. Then they have, if they're in the preaching program, they have 50 hours of homework to put in next to work, next to family, next to ministering in the church, 50 hours until the next training weekend. So EBTC, because I'm not only the dean for EBTC, Christian and I kind of oversee all of EBTC, and EBTC also has kind of a shepherding task for a bunch of other schools that are like EBTC in Europe. So there's quite some involvement there as well. And I really can't give a good answer maybe to that. It's just, seriously, things just need to get done. Unfortunately, I have not been able to have a steady day off. And I know a lot of people, and you too, Greg, and you're right, and I'm repenting, and ashes on my head. I know I should, but I just hope that we'll have more guys coming, and there's some in the pipeline that I will be able to do that. So it's just, you know, the church plant, it's preaching, it's home Bible studies, prayer meetings. I'm invited to teach in other churches, which is a good thing, just to equip their people to be better equipped to do Sunday school or youth work and all of that. All to say, I have a great wife who supports me in all of this, great family, whom I'm bringing, Greg can testify to that, a lot of peace offerings back because I've been gone for 2 weeks and I can't show up without them. So, but it's good. I'll gladly bring them back for them. And basically, and I have other people, especially young families, ask me, how do we do this? Because we have 6 kids and we've been traveling. We've done a lot of stuff. And I said, the only way you can do it is, look, there's not a whole lot else that we do, because I think there's basically 3 things in life. That's my responsibility. First, my family. And the second one is to put bread on the table. That's my responsibility. And the third one is the church. Now, I'm fortunate to be able to put bread on the table through ministering, which I count myself highly fortunate, because I know a lot of people in our context cannot do that. But besides, you know, being the head of your family, working and putting bread on the table and ministering, there's a lot of good things that I would like to do. I just don't have time for it. You have to learn to say no to get things done. That's all I can say. And then you just kind of juggle and trust God along the way. That's what my week typically looks like.
Any other questions?